In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing on volume 16, August 20th, 1923. And this is the beauty of this gift of the faith that Jesus says that we're supposed to possess. This faith is this new and divine way of holiness that Jesus is showing us. He's asking us to begin to live this new and divine way of holiness. And it's a glorious thing to begin, to tell you the honest truth. It's a wonderful blessing for all of us. So today is the day that Luisa began her writings in 1899, February 28th. It's a glorious day. And our God is just really showing us this new beginning that's happening for all of us is because of Luisa's writings. This new and divine way of holiness that Jesus has given us is a new beginning for the church and for the world. And that's the thing that's makes this so magnificent. So when you read volume 20, when you read volume 2 for the first time, that's when she began. That first day, as you're reading this first day, you're just astonished at her spirituality. And that's basically after she wrote volume 2, her spiritual director said, "How did you get to this place of this spirituality? How did you get here?" And then she wrote volume 1. So there, volume 2 is the first day that she began, and that began today, February 28th, 1899. And the whole world has changed since then. So he says, Jesus says, "And then there was the example of my mama. She, Mary, was the true sanctity of living in the divine will." So after Adam living in the divine will and he lost it, he said his mother came. His mother, this was the plan of God, that the new Adam would be Jesus, the new Eve would be Mary. She would be the first, the mother, the queen of heaven and earth. And now after 2000 years, we have a newborn, Luisa, the firstborn in the divine will. So the example of Mary is true sanctity of living in the divine will, with her interior all eclipsed by the eternal sun of the supreme volition. So here, her interior, this life that God is calling us to, is the true life of Jesus and Mary. Jesus, the Son of God, Mary, Theotokos, the Mother of God. And the interior life is what we're now going to learn how to live. Because this is what they taught, Jesus and Mary taught Luisa. The saints have taught us how to live the exterior life of Jesus by doing the will of God, but living in the will of God is now given to us because of the teachings, the lessons of Jesus and Mary to Luisa. So he says that her interior is all eclipsed by the eternal sun of the supreme volition. Having to be queen of the sanctity of the saints and mother and bearer of my life to all of humanity. Therefore, of all the goods, she remained as though hidden in all, bringing good without making herself recognized. Okay, so this is like what Father Pucci keeps on saying. To live in the divine will, you have to be little, insignificant, and hidden. This littleness, this hiddenness is essential, because that's the life of Our Lady. That's the life of our Lord. When you think about it, you know, he basically started witnessing at 12 years old in the temple for 3 days in front of the high priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, Pharisees. He taught for 3 days and then was silent for those 30 years. And then when at the age of 30, he starts teaching again for only 3 years. The rest of his life was hidden and little and insignificant. And that gives us an example of God, what God wants for us. He needs us to surrender to him, be docile to him, submissive to him, so that we can learn that he is our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King. the divine will is to give all glory, all praise, all love to God, to our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to really begin to live this new and divine way of holiness that Jesus taught Louisa. So after you look at 6,000 years, this is, you know, Jesus says that to Louisa. Adam fell 6,000 years ago. Okay. And then for 4,000 years, they prayed for the Messiah. When the Messiah came, he taught about the gospel of the kingdom, if you want to say, no, the gospel of the redemption. And now it's the gospel of the kingdom. And everything has basically been planned by God. And what's coming, this new and divine way of holiness, is our job to give to the world. We are called by Jesus himself to be alive at this time so that the kingdom can be established. So he says to Louisa, this is the gift of gifts. This is the prodigy of prodigies. He says, I could give a human no greater a mission. So this is the greatest mission. This is the greatest apostolate that can be accomplished. And for most in the church, they've never heard of Louisa. So he says, I'm keeping this, I'm saving this for the little ones, for Louisa to lead her family, basically teach her family through the writings of Jesus and Mary that were given to Louisa at this time. And he says it's like you have the Old Testament, you know, prophesied the Messiah, the New Testament, the Messiah is here. And he says, this is the gospel of redemption. And now Jesus says, now it's to the way and the how this is going to happen. Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfected, is given to Louisa. You know, the saints, each group of saints, you know, Benedict, Dominic, Francis, you know, forming their communities said, this is the way we're going to do it. We're going to draw closer to Jesus this way. And so there's many, many religious communities. And the thing about that that's so important is in the new era, there's really not going to be a need for religious communities. The priesthood will be here, Jesus says, because the Holy Mass will continue. And he says, watch the power that's going to come out through the souls receiving the Holy Eucharist at that point. Watch what God is going to do with this great gift of the divine will through the sacraments. He says, wait till you see what I have planned. So what's coming, scripture says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has conceived, but what God has planned for those who love him. It's a new and divine way of holiness. And now he's talking about his mother. She possessed the sanctity of all the saints. She was the mother and bearer of the life of Jesus. And this is what God is asking of us. He wants us to bear Jesus, to give birth to Jesus in our own lives. So when you think about it, Jesus says to Louisa, when you want to live in the divine will, God is conceived in your heart. And then he says, when you learn how to pray your rounds, how to do your acts in the divine will, every time you do an act, it's another molecule that's added to this conception of Jesus in your heart. So the more that you do, the more that you learn how to do this, the more Jesus is alive in you, to the point that we bear Christ to the world. It's he, the Lord God Almighty, that gazes at our gazing, that listens at our listening, that speaks at our speaking. Jesus says, I made the senses for God. Right now, the senses are ours. And most people go to hell because of our senses. They don't surrender their life to let the Lord reign in them. You know, you hear a lot of people say, being born again. I am born again. I have a personal relationship with Jesus. That's good. That's just the beginning. And now what Jesus wants is he wants to reign in us. He wants us to recognize him in us, to see in creation all the I love yous, to hear in creation all the I love yous, to taste all the I love yous of creation and redemption. Jesus and Mary are the only ones that have done that. Adam knew how to do creation, but he didn't have Jesus and Mary to teach him. But now what we have is we have Jesus and Mary teaching us how to pray the rounds. And the praying the rounds is essential. praying the rounds is exactly what Jesus wants. And he says to Louisa, this new beginning is coming for all of humanity. And the rounds from volume 16 to volume 36, he says, this is your prayer life. A lot of people say to me, it's just too much. There's too much to read, too much to study, too much to put in practice. You know, I'm going to slow down. And okay, we listen to Jesus, and some people can't read fast. Some people can't read slow. Some people can't. I mean, everybody has their talent, and we have to hear what Jesus is showing us. And that's why spiritual direction is so important. Somebody talked to me yesterday and they said, you know, you're my spiritual director. And I said, well, that's nice. I said, I haven't heard from you in 5 years. How can I be directing you in any way? It's people have an idea. Well, since it's labeled, I have it. The sad part about our God is he's given us the freedom. He says to have the divine will 30, 60, or 100 fold. If you're saying this is too much, okay, then go back to the basics. That's the 24 hours of the Passion. If you can do that during Lent, God will work with you because you're cooperating. And again, the 24 hours of the Passion, you can read the entire book. And what is it? We do this every Good Friday. We start at 9 a.m. and we read all 24 hours by 3 p.m. We read. That's what we do Friday morning until the celebration of the Good Friday celebrations. We have that afterwards. And then when we come back, we do the last volume, the last hour with Jesus and Mary. And, you know, we do the Divine Mercy, at 3 o'clock. We try to get ready for this 3 days of Jesus being in the grave. But it can be read in one day. I mean, easily. Oh, it's too much for me. It's too much for me. Well, it might be too much for you. Maybe the earth is too much. The earth is your life. See, Lent is a time of turning back to God, prayer, fasting, penance, conversion. And, you know, it's not to starve yourself. It's not to harm yourself in any way, shape, or form. But it's, as Our Lady said, eat like the poor. Okay. How does the poor eat? It's, they might have potatoes. They might have, you know, a little salt. They might have, just a little bread. But if it's not to starve yourself, it's not to hurt yourself. But to Jesus, Our Lady says, I want you to remember the poor, like yesterday's reading, you know, you're going to be judged on how you treated humanity. You know, did you feed the hungry? Did you clothe the naked? Did you visit those in the hospital? Did you visit those in prison? He says, what you've done to them, Jesus says, you've done for me. So as we learn how to live the life of Jesus and Mary, in these final days, as St. Peter said, St. Paul said 2000 years ago, and John Paul II repeated, we are now in the final days. We're in the final of the final days, the end of the end of days. He says, it's not the end of the world, but the new era is coming. So God has planned for us to be alive at this time. And he's given us the way and the how to get through what's coming. And he's depending on us and to work with Louisa to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. That's why everything's happening. That's why everything seems to be falling apart. God is coming. The kingdom is coming. What does that mean? Read sacred scripture. You know, a lot of people are doom and gloomers, you know, but God wins. If we're with God, if we're surrendered to God, everything's going to be fine. If we're not, then there'll be difficulties. There'll be great difficulties. So in volume 16, December 26, 1923, in my divine will, there are no rags, but everything is life, divine life. He says a rag is torn. A rag becomes dirty because it does not contain life. Instead, my divine will, which contains life, gives life to everyone, past, present, and future. See, Jesus says, you don't enter the divine will to become a saint. You enter the divine will to save the human generations, to bring the human generations back to where they belong. And that is to live in God's will, to possess God's will, as Adam did from the beginning. And Adam lost it. And again, Louisa says to Jesus, you know, if Adam lost it, why will I not lose this? You keep on telling me, Jesus, I will not lose this gift. If I'm living in it, I will not lose it, as Adam did. And Jesus says very clearly, he says, Adam didn't have me and my mother as his Adam and Eve. You have me as your Adam. You have Mary as your Eve. You cannot lose this gift. So there's the confidence and the trust is the more that we surrender. Each day we surrender more. Each day we want to let the Lord be the Lord of our life in every situation. He says, a rag is torn, it becomes dirty because it does not contain life. Instead, my divine will, which contains life, gives life to everyone, past, present, and future. There is no danger that the soul may be torn to pieces or even less get dirty. It's perfection. It's total purity. Why? What the divine will does is God has given us three powers, our intellect, memory, and will. When we live in the divine will, God begins to, when we want, when we say to the Lord, help me understand this, he works on our intellect so we can begin to think from a divine perspective. That we're just beginning to think from a divine perspective. Nobody is, Louisa was there in this fullness. Our Lady was there as mother and queen, Louisa as little daughter, but no one is there fully yet. So we're getting glimpses. I heard some people talking about the divine will, and I just shook my head. I said, how sad this is. They have this misconception of the divine will. They have this misunderstanding of the divine will, adding it on to the sanctity of the saints. And what the divine will is you have to make this leap to wanting the divine will. And as the Jews who were around Jesus' time they wanted to jump to become Christians, remember? And here's where they used the name Christians and those Jews. They were followers of Christ. Well, now Jesus wants more for us. What can be more than a follower of Christ? Is to go back to the origin, our origin, to go back to where Adam was before the fall, to live in the image and likeness of God. Jesus brings us to the Father. Jesus promises us the Holy Spirit. This new and divine way of holiness is close. It's very, very close. But God is asking each and every one of us to turn back to him, but not just with a personal relationship or being born again. Jesus teaches Louisa, being born again in the divine will is every second. Every second. It's brand new. It's more magnificent. It's more beautiful. And every second we're getting closer and closer to our God. And that's for all eternity. Heaven is getting closer and closer to who he is. This great and magnificent King, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we'll never embrace it all because we're human. God is God. And he's saying, I want to show you the love, the beauty, the strength, the power, the wisdom of God. As much as you want or as little as you want. And he says, as we enter into this gift of living in the divine will, he teaches us how to let go of everything that Adam and Eve were attracted to and turned away from God. That's the world, the flesh, and the devil. To enter into breathing and living this life of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He says, because a rag does not contain life at all, instead, my divine will contains life and gives life to all, and there's no danger. This is what he says to Louisa. Louisa, don't worry. Once you enter into this gift, I will take care of you. He said, there's no danger that the soul may be torn to pieces or even less get dirty. What God promises us is to be like him, not to be him, but to be, he breathed into the dust his image and likeness. He breathed this into this, the Ruach of God, this breath of God. And what we hear with Our Lady and the apostles in this, in the cenacle they waited for this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is the first Pentecost. This is where you know, for us, it's the spring. All of a sudden you got rhubarb, you got strawberries, you got the first fruits. And what Jesus is showing us is that what he's preparing for all the world now is to go back to paradise, heaven on earth. And that's the second Pentecost. That's the harvest where you spend these 2,000 years, if you want to say, from Pentecost to harvest time, growing. What has grown? What did we want? What did we produce in our lives? And then when the time is ready, what does he say? One prayer. He said to he taught the Our Father, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And then he says, I want the communities to pray this. Ask the Father of the harvest, the Lord of the harvest, for harvesters. That's where we are right now. God is getting ready for this great harvest. And this is all the fruit, all the vegetables for the entire 2,000 years. Now we're going to see this new and divine way of holiness, the ultimate gift, the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies, the mission of missions, the apostle of apostolates, is this gift of the divine will. So he says in volume 16, May 13th, 1924, I don't know how, but Jesus held me more tightly and raised me higher. This, what you see here is the father holding his little daughter. I don't know how my father did this, he says, but held me more tightly and raised me higher. This is something that Jesus is doing with each and every one of us who allow him to do that. Like he says to me, when you find life wearisome and difficult, come to me, all you who are weary and find life difficult, and I will refresh you. He says, learn from me. I am gentle and humble of heart. He says, what's this learning? It's study, the catechism. It's our dogma and doctrine. It's that which is not heretical. And that's what's coming at this point. In the divine will. The divine will is like studying the catechism every day. God is teaching us every day about his church. When you are longing to, what does this mean with our dogma and doctrine? Jesus is teaching this to Louisa in a very simple way. It's not complicated. It's not complicated at all. We had this one professor at school who he would talk, and a good friend of mine, a priest friend of mine, was sitting next to me. And when I was in the seminary, and I said, what did he say? And he said, he didn't use a verb. It was all adjectives. And I went, wow, everybody was saying, this is what they would say about this professor. He's so brilliant. I don't understand him. That doesn't sound like brilliance to me. when you read John Paul II, he is so intense. You know, he says something in 15 pages. And you read it, and he's pulling things from all over, saying, read, 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 study. When you read Benedict, it's very simple. It's to the point. It's very understandable and very beautiful. He had a way of explaining things very simply and clearly. It's the same thing for the divine will. The divine will is for children. The divine will, you don't have to be a theologian to understand the divine will. You listen to what Jesus says. So what does he say? I don't know. Louisa says, I don't know how, but Jesus held me more tightly, raised me higher. That's what he's doing with each and every one of us. And he's asking us to learn how to see Jesus, to hear Jesus, to feel Jesus, learn how to enter into this life. Jesus held me more tightly and raised me higher. When you really pray about this and you fall more in love with Jesus and Mary, you fall more in love with our dogma and doctrine, you fall more in love with the catechism, you fall more in love, it's because he's holding you tighter. He's raising you higher. He is the Lord. We're not doing anything. He's the one that's in charge. And he says, higher into a midst of unending light. Here, see, the divine will is light. It's life. It's love. It's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The divine will is it's all of love. And the battle that we're in is a battle of love. We're going to win with God by fighting with love. What does that mean? It means that our whole perspective is to get rid of worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, doubting, and sin. This has to be not part of our life. So the things that you would fear before, you don't fear anymore. The things that you, for example, it's our job in the divine will is to enter into this gift so powerfully that there's no more worry. Jesus says, the final devotion I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. That's where we start. That's the final devotion. That's where we start. So as we embrace this gift, this new divine way of holiness, it really is a new and divine way of holiness that our God is asking us to live. So again, our Lord is looking at us. Our Lord is asking us to begin to live this abundant life, and he needs us to cooperate. So how do we cooperate? It's by reading. It's by studying. It's by putting this into practice. See, this has to become our life. Why? That's why we're alive today. For if we were, 2,000 years ago, our life would be, okay, we're Jews, but I believe Jesus is the Messiah. And I'm going to learn from him this new way, if you want to say, this Catholic way, this Christian way. And that's where we began. But with the divine will, it's now, I have to learn now the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, this new era that's coming. How do I begin to live this? And Jesus says, I'm giving you the way and the how when I've given you the book of heaven. So this, you're entering into a greater light. Why? It's like, being, at the theater, the lights go dark and then the movie comes on, What God has got planned is there is going to be darkness. That's the 3 days of darkness, but he wants us to get ready. We've heard of this. We've seen the previews, if you want to say, but we're going to now enter into this life. It's going to begin this unending light. So what is Jesus telling Louisa? I'm holding you tighter. I'm raising you higher so that you will begin to enter into this unending light on earth as the saints possess it in heaven. And what did she say? She said, I felt annihilated because my annihilation was replaced by divine life, divine light, divine love. So we're going to get to the point where, yes, it's going to be strange at first when we enter into this gift, and it's nothing to be afraid of. Jesus is saying, now is the time that the kingdom is going to be revealed on earth as it is in heaven. Get ready for the new day, get ready for the new heavens, the new earth, get ready for the new Jerusalem. That's what we're doing. That's why everything seems to be falling apart. The kingdom is coming. I felt annihilated. And my annihilation was replaced by a divine life. This is where we are today. This new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II prophesied is here, and it's just beginning. Everything's going to get more beautiful, more holy, more saintly until, boom, the harvest time comes. And then he takes us. Well, he really takes us, and heaven comes to earth, or earth goes to heaven, and it's a new beginning for humanity. He says, my annihilation, Louisa says, my annihilation was replaced by divine life, which unleashed from itself many different colors of beauty, many different colors of sanctity, many different colors of light, many good, different colors of goodness, many different colors of peace, many different colors of love, etc. Everything changes. And when you begin to really begin to live in the divine will, and God is going to bring us into this fullness at this point of this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. this new day of harvest. And it's all in sacred scripture. You want to hear what's happening? Read Isaiah. Isaiah explained it very clearly way, way back when. The New Testament, what is written in the New Testament, well, you've heard this, the reality of today is the prophecy of the past. What we're experiencing now is what was predicted right from the beginning. The new heavens, the new earth, the new Jerusalem. Everything is coming very quickly. And God wants us to get ready for not this life of earth, but a life of heaven on earth with the colors, the beauty, the sanctity, the light, the goodness, the peace, the love has never been seen before. It's brand new. The new day is coming. So our Lord is saying to us, I'm going to give you little hints, little glimpses so that you can want what I want to give you. And that's what happens when you read the book of heaven. Every day when you're reading, God is showing you something more extraordinary, more amazing. And he needs us to cooperate. He needs us to say, yes, our Lord loves us very, very much. He loves us very, very much. And he's planned for us to possess this gift. And the evil one doesn't want us to have it. The evil one knows this is what he took away from Adam and Eve. And he thought he won. But now as the curtain is opened, as this last act, if you want to say, of the movie happens, we're seeing that God wins. God wins, and he wins powerfully. And he's giving to his children that which has never been seen before, that which has never been heard before. New beauty, new sanctity, new light, new goodness, new peace, new good, this new and divine way of holiness. And Louisa says, this happened in such a way that my nothingness was transformed by those colors. See, what God is going to do, he says, I'm going to make each of my children my own divine masterpiece. My own divine masterpiece for God. God is going to walk in to this museum, if you want to say. And I mean, as we do, and we go, wow, look at this beautiful work of art. God is going to say, I'm going to be in ecstasy over my children because they're going to look more like me. Who is the one who possesses beauty, sanctity, light, goodness, peace, and love? Is God himself. And he's saying, I want my children to be like me now. I don't want them to be separated from me. We've gone through these 6,000 years. We've entered into the 7,000 year, the seventh day of Genesis. There's no morning of, there's no evening of the seventh day. Why? Because now is the time that we have to live it. This morning and evening of the seventh day has begun. And our Lord is saying, I'm revealing to you my beauty, my sanctity, my light, my goodness, my peace, my love. I want to squeeze you tighter. I want to raise you higher to live this life, this light, this love in such a way, Louis says, that my nothingness was transformed by those divine colors to the extent of no longer being recognized. Again, we're going to be changed into God's divine masterpiece, not recognized for this. We're going to look at our bodies, this body that we have, and we're going to say, when we have the new body, the glorified body, we were living dead compared to this abundant life that God planned for humanity. And we were satisfied with living dead instead of the abundant life of the true life of Jesus and Mary in their glorified state. As the new Adam, as the new Eve, they had to be transformed into this light, this sanctity, this goodness, this peace. That's what was within them. And now it's on the exterior. And for us, our exterior is going to change and our interior is going to change. And that's what transmutation is. Jesus says, I'm going to transmute my children. So the inside and the outside changes into a completely different element. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. So Jesus says that when we live in our nothingness and say to the Lord, let it be done as you say, total surrender, total docility of our Lady and of our Lord, Jesus saying to the Father, not my will, but your will be done. This is what they breathed into Louisa. so that her nothingness was transformed by divine colors to the extent of no longer being recognized as this miserable human being, but enamored by the very one triune God who had so much embellished Louisa. That's what's happening to us. Little by little, that day when that happens, when that big transformation occurs, when that transmutation happens, heaven's here. And if you've ever gone, if you ever listened to near-death experiences, if you've ever listened to the near-death experiences where they actually see Jesus, they actually are in heaven, you're going to realize that this reality that we're in is nothing compared to what's coming. The true reality of what God wants us to possess. What is that true reality that God wants us to possess? It is living a life, one with Jesus, in a manner that has the saints didn't know about. The saints didn't teach us. Why? It wasn't time to do that. Now is the time that our God wants us to begin to live this life. So the next one is volume 17, June ? Sometimes Louisa didn't put the dates on it. Jesus says to Louisa, my daughter, living in my divine will is very different from all the other sanctities of the saints. And this is why up to now, the way and the true teaching of living in the divine will cannot be found in any of the writings of the saints. So when somebody says to me, oh, that's old hat, Saint so-and-so talked about living in the divine will, Jesus says, no, it's not true. Oh, you know, Saint so-and-so was living in the divine will. That's not true. They did the will of God. In heaven, they are in the divine will. But to live on earth, living in the divine will is Louisa. It's really Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. Adam didn't have Jesus and Mary. So the true reality of living in the divine will, and this is why we love Louisa so much. She's the newborn. She's the firstborn. Living in my divine will is different from all the other sanctities of all the other saints. That's why the true teaching of living in the divine will cannot be found in any of the writings of the saints. Well, I heard Saint So was living in the divine will. No, Louisa lived in the divine will. The first one to live in the fullness of the divine will, if you read the writings, not speculation, is Saint Honorable de Francia. Jesus said he died living in the divine will. Why? He read 1-19, how to become a divine mirror of Jesus and how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. He never read 20-36, which is how to begin again to live the divine inheritance of the Father. So, oh no, but so, Father, so-and-so was living in the divine will. Sorry. People get upset about that, but they couldn't have. To live in the divine will, you have to read, you have to study, you have to put into practice the truths, these lessons that Jesus taught Louisa. So what does he do with Louisa? He puts her in bed for 70 years, basically, and she's focused on reading, studying, putting into practice the divine will. And at the end, Jesus says, I've accomplished what I have planned. Is there going to be any different from us? Oh, I want it. Oh, you possess it. No. Wanting the divine will conceives Jesus in your heart. And then Jesus says, how many acts are you doing in the divine will? Jesus just tells Louisa. He says, nobody has exposition of the Blessed Sacrament. Basically, very, very few people do that. He says, I want my children to have exposition of humanity. They want not of creation. Jesus says, I want humanity to recognize God in all that's around us. The I love yous of God in all creation, where we walk outside and say, thank you, Jesus, for the clouds. Thank you, Jesus, for the land. Thank you, Jesus, for the water. Thank you, Jesus, for these flowers. It's a life of praising God, loving God, glorifying God, worshiping God. This is a true teaching of living in the divine will. Jesus says, one can say that the other sanctities, the sanctities of the saints, are mere shadows of my divine life, while my divine will is the source of divine life. You see, what God now wants to give is more to humanity. And therefore, he says, Louisa, Therefore, be attentive. And he says this often. If you haven't read the Be Attentive book, you get it at luisapicaretta.me. If you listen to the Attentive book, read the Attentive book, you're going to see that Jesus is saying every day almost to Luisa, the exercises of living in my divine will is to be attentive. What are the exercises? Reading. You're learning every day something new. And even if you've read it 10 times, it's brand new. Why? Jesus keeps on expanding our capacity to embrace this word that Jesus is speaking to us. And from you may come the true way. Listen to what he says about Luisa. From you, Luisa, may come the true way and the exact and precise teaching for those other souls who want to live in the divine will may find not the shadow, not the saintly life, but the true divine sanctity of the divine life of Jesus and Mary. When we listen to the saints, we're following what they put down in paper. I've just discovered that when I kneel in front of the Blessed Sacrament, staring at Jesus in the Eucharist, I'm falling more in love with him. Jesus says, I want more than that. I want you to enter. I want you to become a living host, Jesus says. And this is the thing that's going to shock the world. He says, the writings of Luisa will be for my church a way of spiritualizing and divinizing humanity. We haven't seen anything yet. We haven't seen anything yet. And God is going to take everything away so that we can focus on him. And focus on him in a way that he's wanted from the beginning of time. To re-enter into paradise on earth. To re-enter to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, which is found in Luisa. Luisa, you're going to be the one. You're going to be the one to lead and guide in exact and precise way my teachings to anyone who wants to live in the divine will. But they will not find a shadow like the saints. They will have the true and divine sanctity, the true and divine life of Jesus and Mary. This is a great time to be alive. And those who want to believe what Jesus says can believe it. Those who don't want to believe it, Jesus says, I'm offering this to you, but I'm not going to interfere with your freedom. So let us pray. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Luisa, and we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.